with a View by E.M. Forster. Read by Juliet Stevenson.
"Signora had no business to do it," said Miss Bartlett. "She promised us south rooms with a view close together, instead of which here are north rooms looking into a courtyard and a long way apart. Oh, Lucy!"
"And a cockney besides," said Lucy, who had been further saddened by the signora's unexpected accent. "It might be London."
She looked at the two rows of English people who were sitting at the table, at the portraits of the late Queen and the late Poet Laureate that hung behind the English people, heavily framed.
"I can hardly believe that all kinds of other things are just outside. I suppose it is one's being so tired."
"This meat has surely been used for soup," said Miss Bartlett, laying down her fork.
"I want so to see the Arno. The rooms the Signora promised us in her letter would have looked over the Arno. Oh, it is a shame."
"Any nook does for me," Miss Bartlett continued. "But it does seem hard that you shouldn't have a view."
Lucy felt that she had been selfish.
"Charlotte, you mustn't spoil me. Of course you must look over the Arno, too. The first vacant room in the front, you must have it,"
said Miss Bartlett, part of whose travelling expenses were paid by Lucy's mother, a piece of generosity to which she made many a tactful allusion.
"No, no, you must have it."
"I insist on it. Your mother would never forgive me, Lucy."
"She would never forgive me."
The ladies' voices grew animated and a little peevish. They were tired, and under the guise of unselfishness, they wrangled. Some of their neighbours interchanged glances, and one of them leant forward over the table and actually intruded into their argument. He said,
"I have a view. I have a view."
Miss Bartlett was startled. Generally, at a pensione, people looked them over for a day or two before speaking, and often did not find out that they would do till they had gone. She knew that the intruder was ill-bred even before she glanced at him. He was an old man of heavy build, with a fair, shaven face and large eyes. There was something childish in those eyes, though it was not the childishness of senility. He was probably trying to become acquainted with them before they got into the swim. So she assumed a dazed expression when he spoke to her, and then said,
"A view? How delightful a view is."
"This is my son," said the old man. "His name's George. He has a view, too."
"Ah,"
said Miss Bartlett, repressing Lucy, who was about to speak.
"What I mean is," he continued, "is that you can have our rooms, and we'll have yours."
The better class of tourist was shocked at this, and sympathised with the newcomers. Miss Bartlett, in reply, opened her mouth as little as possible, and said,
"Thank you very much indeed. That is out of the question."
"Why?"
said the old man.
"Because it is quite out of the question, thank you."
You see, we don't like to take,"
began Lucy. Her cousin again repressed her.
"But why?"
he persisted.
"Women like looking at a view. Men don't."
And he thumped with his fists on the table and turned to his son, saying,
"George, persuade them."
"It's obvious they should have the rooms," said the son.
His voice was perplexed and sorrowful. Lucy, too, was perplexed, but she saw that they were in for what is known as quite a scene. Now the old man attacked Miss Bartlett almost violently.
"Why should she not change? What possible objection had she? They would clear out in half an hour."
Miss Bartlett, though skilled in the delicacies of conversation, was powerless in the presence of brutality. It was impossible to snub anyone so gross. Her face reddened with displeasure.
eat your dinner, dear," she said to Lucy, and began to toy again with the meat that she had once censured. "This pensione is a failure. Tomorrow we will make a change."
Hardly had she announced this decision when she reversed it. The curtains at the end of the room parted and revealed a clergyman, stout but attractive, who hurried forward to take his place at the table, cheerfully apologizing for his lateness. Lucy at once rose to her feet, exclaiming,
"Oh! Oh, why, it's Mr. Beebe! Oh, how perfectly lovely! Oh, Charlotte, we must stop now, however bad the rooms are."
Miss Bartlett said, with more restraint,
"How do you do, Mr. Beebe? I expect that you've forgotten us, Miss Bartlett and Miss Honeychurch, who were at Tunbridge Wells when you helped the Vicar of St. Peter's that very cold Easter."